This is Wishes, 84, doing an AMA for GWA Backstage. Firstly, thank you everybody who submitted questions. I was really, really paranoid that absolutely nobody would ask me anything and that I would end up putting up, like, I don't know, 30 seconds of elevator music, and then that would be it. So I'm really grateful that there are actual questions to answer. Firstly, I'm going to do one that came in a private message, with the person I presume wanted to remain anonymous because they didn't put it in a comment anywhere, and that was, what part of making audios for GWA, makes you the most aroused or makes you feel the most sensual? Is it the preparation? Is it sort of the act of doing it? Is it the aftermath of having done it? Or is it comments and feedback? And it's no competition at all. It is comments and feedback. It is comments and feedback. somebody else that I was talking to earlier today referred to themselves as an attention whore, and I think that's probably pretty accurate, and I would be reasonably surprised if the majority of the creators aren't in some fashion attention whores. We wouldn't be putting it out there if we didn't want you to experience it. And I mean, there's probably like a really small percentage of people who don't care that much. They're doing it just for themselves, or for whom maybe hit count is more than enough. But generally speaking, you know, we've done this thing and we've put it out on Reddit, and we want it to affect you. We want it to do something to you. We want you to have an experience. And yeah, I want you to tell me that you did. I want you to tell me that it made you feel good and that you had a good time and that you feel better now. I want to hear that I made your day better. You know, and if you want to say sweet, sexy things about my voice too, that's okay. So that was the only private one. So we'll move on to things that came up in the subreddit. Dr. Feelgood and Orgasm has like a whole list of stuff. He's an overachiever. Hold on, I've just lost it because I'm a twit. There we go. So he starts off with, what stereotype about your country or ethnicity do you dislike the most? To be perfectly honest, in whole or in part, basically every stereotype about my country is true. Not everywhere, not every stereotype is true everywhere, but for any Australian stereotype that you have heard, somewhere in this country there is a community for whom it is true. And the really funny thing about that is there's kind of this unspoken rule among Australians that when you travel, the rule is that you must embody as stereotypical bullshit, you know, as many stereotypes as you possibly can. You must perpetuate completely bullshit beliefs about Australia. You must continue the various lies that we have been telling foreigners for 100 years about Australia. You have to keep the play going. My entire country is playing a game with the rest of the world, and we love it, and we're not sorry. So, to be perfectly honest, I don't dislike any of them. I don't dislike any of them. They are not all true for me. They are not all true for the specific community in which I live. But I know somebody who embodies entirely, basically every Australian stereotype you can possibly imagine, and probably a load of ones that only exist internally for like other communities. Two, what is the dumbest or funniest sexual encounter you've ever had? Okay. I did go away and think about this one for a little bit because this was sort of the first comment that came up. The dumbest / funniest sexual encounter I ever had was with a lovely man who, this is a breast person, he's a breast man, and, you know, not to, to blow one's own horn, but the ladies are substantial. And I thought, well, you know, he's really into this kind of thing. We're gonna have a go at sort of letting him fuck my boobs, which is, yes, it's fine. You know, whatever. It's all good. You know, and the one rule is, if you come up my nose, I'm going to murder you, and we're never ever doing this again. So, you know, and he seemed to think that was reasonable. So, I'm lying on my back on the bed, and he's sort of straddling my midsection, and I'm holding them together to, you know, provide a, you know, something to stick it in. And he is proceeding to have fun with my chest. Now, he's thinking about a couple of things, I imagine. Primarily, he's thinking, oh my God, boobies. And secondly, he's probably thinking, if I come up her nose, she's going to murder me. What he's not thinking about is how far up the bed we are and how close his face is to the wall. So once he started sort of getting into it and he got a little bit comfortable with the motion and all of that kind of thing, and he's not really paying attention. He might have closed his eyes at that point. I don't know. I was busy. But he got into it, moved in an unfortunate way, and headbutted the wall above the bed, like at the head of the bed, really hard, and promptly fell off me, sort of grabbing his head and having a generally bad time, which of course I found hilarious. And the whole business had to grind to a halt for a little while we made sure that my partner had not in fact given himself concussion. So it's probably the funniest sexual encounter that I ever had. What physical aspect of the male, if possible female as well, body turns you on the most? Ooh, physical aspect of the male body. I don't know. I really am a sucker for a cheeky smile. Like, if you give me that grin, like I'm about to do something naughty and you're going to love it, That's kryptonite. That's serious. That's a serious problem. I do like that. I don't know, everything. God help me, on a woman, it's boobs. It's boobs. Christina Hendricks is the most sexy woman in the world. If you don't know who she is, go Google that shit. She is amazing. She's just like this enormous rack and this hourglass figure and the red hair. She looks like, I mean, she's more Jessica Rabbit than Jessica Rabbit. She's unbelievable. What time of day are you the horniest? When I'm on GWA, whenever that happens to be. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? Haven't worked it out yet. I will get back to you. Certainly I haven't maxed out. So, what is your favorite sex position and why? Okay. This, I know it's going to sound a bit like cheating, but this actually has two answers. One of them is my actual favorite sexual position, as in to do in real life with an actual other person. And then there'll be reasons for that one. And then the other one is my favorite fantasy sex position, because they're not the same. So, my favorite actual sex position in physical reality is cowgirl. I like to be on top. And it has nothing to do with control. It has nothing to do with any of that crap. It is just that. Or a domination or anything like that. It is control, but it's not sort of controlling my partner. It's controlling me. I can, to not put too fine a point of it, I can get myself off better that way. I can control what's going on. I can control the pressure. I can control the speed. And my orgasm is somewhat more assured if we do it that way. And generally speaking, the guys don't complain. whereas my favorite sexual position, sort of in a fantasy setting, is actually where I am Little Spoon. And he is up, curled up behind me with his arms around me, because I like that and I find that very sexy and it feels very safe and it's really, really nice. I just find that it's very difficult to come like that. Or at least it's more difficult. It takes more effort. And it's a more hit and miss proposition. I'm much more reliant on either having to do everything myself, hands-wise, because, you know, your other options are somewhat limited, or relying on him being able to do it. And, you know, sometimes that's not the best way to get there. which fictional character do you want to have sex with the most and why? My knee-jerk reaction is Geralt of Rivia, but that's because Henry Cavill's kind of doing it for me right now. But in a little more long-term way, I am going to say Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. And if you don't know why, you need to watch the episode The Naked Time. And, yeah, go watch that episode and it will tell you. What are your dick size preferences? Big, average, or small? You know what my dick size preference is, gentlemen? My dick size preference is gives a shit about getting me off. it doesn't matter. It really, that's not fair. It's not that it doesn't change the experience. It does change the experience. But in terms of the outcome, in terms of me getting to have an orgasm today, it doesn't matter. It really, it doesn't make a difference. The size preference is actually gives a shit about my orgasm. And if I can, you know, sprinkle on top of that, like a side of knows what to do about it, that would be great too. But just enthusiasm, you know, and interest in it is usually enough. Worst date and best date you've ever been on? My worst date ever was probably when I was a teenager. I was like, I don't know, 17 or 18, and I went on a date with this guy, and honest to God, I think he said three words to me the entire date. I don't know if he was nervous. I was probably nervous. I just remember we sat there for ages. We had a meal. And then I think we went for a walk on the beach or something. It should have been really romantic, and it wasn't. It was awkward as fuck because he would not talk to me. Best date. Honestly, I once spent an evening with a guy on a beanbag under a blanket at a party, and it was a really raucous party. Everybody was having a really, really good time, but we had found a console hooked up to a big TV in one of the rooms that nobody was using, and we spent most of the evening playing. What were we playing? I don't remember, but we were playing video games. It was awesome. Besides GWA, what are your top three erotic subreddits to visit? Do you know what? I don't really go anywhere else. I am not well-rounded. Don't really. I have like an erotica one that I kind of go back to occasionally, but it's not really floating my boat, so I wouldn't recommend it. What are some of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex, as well as dating and relationships, and what advice do you have for men on avoiding those mistakes? Okay. I read somewhere one time that in order for a man to be good at sex, he needs to be able to do the same thing over and over again for at least 5 minutes. And I don't think truer words were ever spoken. I think that the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex are that if they don't get results fast enough, they assume they're doing something wrong and they try something else. This is wrong. For huge, huge numbers of women, it is a reasonably repetitive motion that is going to do it. So you need to have more than a 2 minute attention span. You have to be prepared to do the same thing over and over again for a goodly amount of time. If it's not what she wants, hopefully you have developed a relationship where she's going to let you know, and then you can change what you're doing. But generally speaking, if she doesn't complain and she seems to be enjoying it, keep doing that. There's nothing more frustrating than you're just starting to get to the point like, okay, I'm starting to get somewhere. We're starting to get somewhere. Wait, why are you doing something else now? What is this? What is this shit? What? but talk about it. And I think you will find that a not insignificant number of women are like, no, you think you're being like interesting and different and stuff, but it really just, it's making everything take so much longer. Dating and relationships, and what advice do you have for men to avoid those mistakes? Dating and relationships, do you know, I read this question at the beginning of the week, and it was the first question that I wanted to answer, you know, because all women have really strong opinions on this. I should preamble it, though, by saying that there are a number of different archetypes of women, and I can really only speak for A, myself, and B, the archetypes that I understand. There are plenty of women that I don't understand, and I guarantee you my advice probably won't work with them. But for me, and a not insignificant number of women that I know who are, say, between, I don't know, 25 and 45, and who are geeks, and they, you know, all that kind of stuff, the absolute worst thing that guys can do, and they do it like a lot, is be too cool to care about anything. And I don't mean like about your partner. Most men have gotten to the point now where, you know, they're prepared to show affection, and they're prepared to, you know, show you in various ways that you are important and that they want you and that they love you and all of that kind of crap. No. Don't be too cool to tell me that you're really into something. Be into something, please, for the love of God. Don't just, it's not interesting. It's not cool to schlub around and not have any obsessions at all. I got obsessions coming out the yit yang. I love all kinds of things. Very easy to buy for at Christmas because I just got a whole list of obsessions. There is nothing worse than a guy who just doesn't seem to have any interest in anything. And it doesn't have to be something I'm interested in. I mean, it's cool if it is. And sometimes it'll start off as something I'm not interested in, and then you'll suck me in and I'll get interested in it. Other times it's going to be like, I don't know, Formula One. I don't get Formula One. I do not understand why that's interesting. The cars very rarely blow up. They just go round and round the same little track all the time. And I had it explained to me at one point that they're mostly not allowed to overtake each other either. And I'm like, well, what is the point then? This isn't even a race. If you're not allowed to, please don't yell at me about the Formula One. I don't know and I don't care. But I did have a partner that was very, very into Formula One. Would stay up until like 3 o'clock in the morning, Australia time, to watch the Formula One live when it was on in some other part of the world. And he thought that was very, very cool. And while I did make light fun of him for it, it is very, very attractive to date a whole person, somebody who likes things and dislikes other things and is mad obsessed with things and, you know, doesn't really give a shit about other things. Don't be too cool to like stuff. Tell us what you like. Share with us what your passion is. Passion is hot. Okay, that is the big takeaway here. Passion is hot. Next, how did you stumble upon GWA? I actually followed a sort of trail of creators here. So I stumbled on this guy, Jim, and he's quite happy for his, he signs everything with his name. And he does, he's on a website called Feel Good Filth. And he has a lovely voice, and he's very, very friendly, very geeky, very nerdy. I love it. I absolutely, absolutely fell in love with his voice. And I sort of had this whole, yeah, this was what porn was for me. Visual porn is not interesting. I liked this. And then, he started doing stuff on triquin.com. So I went there, and there were some other male creators there, still predominantly female. Everywhere you go, it's predominantly female creators, but there were some male creators there. And one of them, Anoni35, I think it is, he had a link to his subreddit on, in his bio there. And I was like, oh, cool. So I went and had a look at that. I had never in my life been on Reddit before, ever. So I went and I looked at his subreddit, and I could see that he posted not just on his subreddit, but in a couple of other places. And one of those places was GWA. So I sort of, it was a long trail of clicks to get me there. But I'm very glad that I did. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or record yourself? I cannot do age play. I can't do it. And I can't listen to it. I have been asked a time or two because of the style of stuff that I do. And I think because of the quality of my voice and that kind of thing, I have had, a number of people send me messages and ask for age play type stuff. And, you know, they're like, oh, you have to post it somewhere else and all of this kind of stuff, or this is how you do it. And it's not super obvious and that kind of thing. But I'm just like, it's a squick and I do not want to kink shame anybody. Whatever floats your boat is what floats your boat, and that's awesome. But I cannot engage in that, and I'm not into it at all. If you were a stripper, what would your stripper name be? What would be your gimmick? Okay. I actually did take burlesque classes for a little while. And I really, really enjoyed it. The woman who ran them was awesome. But I did do burlesque for a little bit, and we did do performances at sort of the, you know, the grand finale of the class that, you know, they were ticketed and everything. And I can't remember what my stage name was. I think I went through a couple, but my gimmick was that I was like, because I get around on a motorcycle, I show up everywhere in like big boots and like the armor and stuff. And I'm not girly. I don't know how to do that. I've never known how to do that. You know, single parent father and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know how to do any of that crap. So I turn up and stomp around and all that kind of stuff. So the gag was that I was like La Femme Trucker, who then stripped off and had like all the lacy sort of business on underneath. So that was quite fun. And everybody thought that that was really good as a character for me. Do you watch stand-up comedy? And if yes, who is your favourite comedian? I love John Richardson. He's a British comedian who has a number of character flaws that he's very vocal about, and I find him absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Love him desperately, and he's a sweet little munchkin of a man. If you could go back in time and talk to yourself, what advice would you give her? Oh, Jesus Christ. What advice would you give her? I guess, and to be honest, it's probably advice that I could use still. Generally speaking, if people are legitimately nice to you for a reasonably protracted period of time, it's probably because they like you and that you are likable and that, you know, you don't have to always be looking for an ulterior motive or convincing yourself that, oh, they're just nice because they're nice people. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they feel sorry for me, or maybe, you know, I'm a pity project. or something like that. If people are legitimately nice to you for a reason, you know, for a short period of time, it can just be, you know. But, you know, if you have maintained a friendship with somebody for a reasonable period of time and you can look at it objectively and go, yeah, this person is nice to me and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, they probably legitimately like you. And if you have, say, more than two or three of these people, it's probably a reasonable indication that you're a legitimately likable person. And that's, you know, that's okay. And you don't have to wander around feeling like you're not. That was pretty deep. What was the last movie that you saw? It will have been a shitty romantic comedy of some sort. Hold on one second and I will I will check for you what the last movie that I saw was. It was I'm checking my my Netflix. No, I didn't watch that one. Someone else watched that one. God damn it. Oh, it was called Killers. It is a romantic comedy, lower budget ripoff of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So that one starred Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. This one starred, I want to say, Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher. And it's called Killers. And it's quite funny. I mean, it's not great. It was mindless viewing, and that was all I wanted, so I was happy with it. Have you ever cried during a movie? If yes, tell us about that. If not, then what movie had a massive emotional impact on you? Bitch, I cry all the time. I'm a very emotional person, especially if you can put me in a dark room where I know that nobody is looking at me. In my work, I have to put up with a lot of stuff that might normally make me quite emotional, and I'm not allowed to be emotional about it at work. You know, you have to keep a certain amount of, you know, stiff upper lip and shit. So yeah, put me in a dark room with a sad movie. I'm going to bawl. It's not even worth trying to list them because it's all the time. Character dies, I'm crying. People break up, I'm crying. Babies are born, I'm crying. This is crying. I'm squishy. I'm so squishy. If all the sex toys you own came to life, Toy Story style, how would they behave and what would they talk about? This is a fun one. This is a fun one because I'm going to tell you something and I don't know how many of you are going to actually believe it. I have managed to make it to this point in my life and I have never owned a single sex toy. Not one. Don't have one. Don't have a single thing. I am currently in, what would we call it, the information gathering phase of potentially purchasing my first sex toy, because that seems like a reasonable and intelligent thing to do. I have had girlfriends that I have told this piece of information to, and they are absolutely horrified by my life choices. Like, how have you done that? Why don't you have one? Go out and buy one. We'll go out with you. So, yeah, it's very possible that there is a all ladies and two gay guys shopping trip in my future to go and look for some kind of appropriate vibrating device. When was the last time you called someone a cunt and why? I am Australian and cunt is just a word. I have a small subset of friends who are extremely bogan Australians that I went to university with, and for them cunt means friend. So I am called a cunt on a relatively regular basis. And it's one of those things where this is a cultural thing. You are not going to change these people. They are legitimately fun, nice people, and you just have to learn to deal with the C-bombs. And I do find that when I'm in their company, I will C-bomb a lot more than I would otherwise. I don't even really C-bomb here very much. Okay, so we have now, that was all of Dr. Feelgood, and we're now at how? Jeez, we've been going for half an hour. Okay, shit. And I've only gone through like two people. Crazy Cola Man. I want to say Koala Man, but that's not right. Crazy Cola Man. If you had the ability to go back in time, what time period would you go back to? I would go back to the Roman invasion of Britannia and suggest very strongly to Boadicea that allowing that last legion to form up before you kill the shit out of them is a terrible, terrible idea. She caught two legions on the hop and she absolutely fucking decimated them. And I don't know what was going on with that third one, but she wasn't angry enough anymore. She let them form up. She was convinced she could win. You cannot beat a formed up Roman legion. It's a goddamn meat grinder. But yeah, I would probably do that. What is your favorite book you'll recommend people to check out? I have really weird taste in books. Okay, so if you are a mad fantasy person, people in my life tend to fall into two categories. They're either mad fantasy people or they are crime fiction people. So for mad fantasy people, I will go Magician by Raymond E. Feist. It's one of my sort of really early addictions book-wise. I love Magician. I have read all of those books. Yes, even the ones he wrote with someone else, even though I didn't think they were anywhere near as good, he's better off on his own. And I absolutely love it. I think I have like two or three copies floating around in the house that I picked up in various ways. Feist. You have to go to Feist. And for the other people who are crime fiction people, I would recommend a little known book called Regina's Song. It's by an author named David Eddings. He might have co-authored that one with his wife, Lee. He's also normally a fantasy author. It's the only sort of crime fiction-y thing that he did, and it's kind of like a supernatural crime thing, but the supernatural sort of part of it is, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's one of those kind of books. But it's really, really good crime fiction novel about this girl whose twin is murdered and she has a psychological breakdown, and sort of the friends that try to build her back up, and it's good. It's really, really good. Favorite horror movie? I think Split Second falls into the horror category. Split Second is a Rutger Hauer movie. He passed last year. Very sad. Loved Rutger Hauer. I have seen absolutely everything that he's ever been in, even the movies that cost about $3.50. And it's set in 2002, and London is under like 2 feet of water because of global warming. And this nasty, horrible monster is killing people in London is sort of the long and the short of it. But it's Rutger Hauer in it and he's amazing. What's the weirdest thing you saw on the internet? Oh, Jesus, I don't know. The weirdest thing. Oh, I got into trouble. I'm a night owl, as you may know. It's 12:40 a.m. now. I basically waited until 12 so that it was the 17th so that I could record the answers. So I'm a night owl, which means, you know, if I go to bed with a partner, quite often they're asleep and I've got my headphone in and I'm watching something on my laptop. I don't try to watch even vaguely funny things anymore on my laptop because I'm a horrendous giggler and I can't stop it and it breaks me and it's really bad. But I saw a clip of a soccer player and I believe what had happened was that he had crapped himself. And he was trying to, like, do the butt scooty thing on the grass that dogs sometimes do on the carpet. That's it. I lost my shit. Woke up the person sleeping next to me, got into a lot of trouble. Now this question, I feel really bad because I have no idea what it means. Favorite Studio Ghibli film. I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. I'm so sorry. If you were to do an accent, which one would be hardest to do? Anything African, I find very, very difficult because they use glottal stops quite a lot in a lot of native African languages. It does interesting things to their palates and makes things come out really interesting. And there's just no way. There's just no way. Question 8, the cake is a lie. Okay. Favorite video game or game series? God help me, I played a lot of Might and Magic. I played a lot of Might and Magic. In fact, my first Might and Magic was on the Sega Mega Drive, and it was a cartridge. God help me. And then I played all of them. I also quite liked Prophecy, the Prophecy games. The Wing Commander style ones. Those were cool. One thing you like to do alone, which is usually meant for two people. Note, this doesn't have to be anything sexual unless you want it to be. Something I do alone, which is usually meant for two people. I don't know. Shared platters at restaurants? I don't know. I don't know. Nothing's occurring to me. What's the worst advice you have ever gotten from someone? Worst advice that you've ever gotten from someone. I don't know. I'm reasonably lucky in that I have not been the recipient of a drastically huge amount of shitty advice. It's normally pretty good. I don't really have anything.
Okay.
Who's your most inspirational person or people? Most inspirational person or people. We're going to have to go with like quasi-famous people. There are people that I actually know that are sort of, you know, in my life, and I could name them and you could Google them. But I feel like that would get uncomfortably close to me, so I'm not going to do that. Most inspirational person or people. I'm going to go with Queen Elizabeth I. I'm going to go with Queen Elizabeth I. Google the stories. Bitch was mad and I love it. Now, tell us the cheat code to beat Battletoads. I don't know. That's it. So that's him. Okay. Ooh, Valerie, thine Valkyrie is next. All the lists are much shorter now. It was the first two that just like went completely off the rails. What is your favourite thing about recording? I think it probably comes back to the attention whore thing. I really like making connections with people. And I certainly think that my favourite thing about being on GWA is the quite unorthodox, funny little friendships that I have now. Or at least I like to, you know, I think of them as friendships. With a number of people that, you know, started out in this really weird way, you know, in social norms, in a social norms type way. My favorite thing about recording, I suppose, is the community and talking to people, and the broader conversations and the deeper things that I know about them now that, you know, I would never have known before and I would never have made these friends before. What's your favourite type of audio to record? I basically only do improv because I keep looking at scripts and thinking I'm going to sound like a machine if I try and read this, and I don't want to ruin somebody's script by, you know, taking a run at it and screwing it up that bad. So I like improvs. I prefer to do those. What is something you have never recorded before that you want to try? I mean, the simple answer is almost everything, but I don't know. I keep thinking that I'm sort of at the limit of where I'm prepared to go, and then something will happen, and normally it's a conversation. Normally it's a private conversation with somebody where I'm DMing, you know, one of those friends, and we're talking about something and they will say something to me, or they'll talk about something else that they heard, something they've done or a fantasy that they've had, and the next thing I know I've picked up the phone and I'm doing that. So generally speaking, I don't want to try anything until I have the damn recorder in my hand and I'm doing it. I don't really know how else to explain it. I don't plan anything. I don't have a list of stuff that I want to do. My brain just doesn't work that way. On the kinky continuum, would you consider yourself more middle of the road, more vanilla, or kinkier? I still consider myself very, very vanilla. I'm probably leaning more middle, certainly, than I was a month ago when I got here. But I still think that I'm very, very vanilla compared to a lot of people. There are still, you know, tags that I look at. And unless that creator is someone that I know and that I already like, I'm not going to click on an audio with these particular tags. And they're not like hard out there tags either. I'm just so squishy. But that does change and the palette is broadening as we go. What is your favorite type of dessert? I like ice cream. I do. I like ice cream. In fact, today I finished off a pot of Sara Lee honeycomb and butterscotch ice cream. It was amazing. Okay. Helen Bach. The following are 84 words that make questions tangentially relevant to wishes. So if you could have any one wish come true right now, what would it be? Remember the phrasing counts. I feel like world peace and all those kinds of things are like the really dangerous ones. So you gotta go for something small and manageable, or you know, reasonably manageable. I don't know. I guess maybe. I would really like to be able to be friends more broadly with some of the people that I've made friends with from Reddit. And there are some people where the friendship simply will never be any broader than it currently is, because we've walked right up to sort of accidentally identifying each other. And neither of us are prepared for that to happen because career, friends, family, you know, whatever. And, you know, we've both sort of backed off from that. And that's fine. That is what both of us want. It's really, really important to protect those barriers and to protect that sort of stuff. But, you know, these are people that I legitimately like. I like them a lot. I like talking to them. And the truth is that the conversations are only about something sexy 10%, 15% of the time, and the rest of the time it's normal. It is totally, you know, coffee shop conversation, but deep coffee shop conversation where I know about the things that frighten them. I know about the things that they want in like a deeper kind of way. And I've told them things about myself that, not sexual things, not identifiable things like that, but things that are, you know, just as personal, just as important. And I think I would really like to be able to enjoy those relationships in a broader kind of a way, instead of being in, I guess, in a society where we kind of have to keep those friendships in a very tightly contained little box because of the way that we met and the things that we started off talking about. And I mean, it's not like we don't go back to them. We do go back to them all the time. So, yeah. Do you feel it's unfair not to be able to wish for more wishes? Yes. Yes, I do. Have you ever wished upon a falling star? Yes, I have. What was the last thing you wished for while blowing out the candles on your birthday cake? I have no idea. I haven't had candles on my birthday cake in ages. My family is very small. For a long time, it was really just me and my dad. And You know, we didn't do candles and a cake. We got a cake. Don't you better believe we got a cake, but like candles and that kind of crap. No, cake and beer is what we're doing for birthdays. Fuck, marry, kill. The genie played by Robin Williams, the genie played by Will Smith, or Jiminy Cricket? Jesus Christ, man. I'm going to marry Robin Williams, always. And I'm going to... I'm going to kill Will Smith because I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it. I wanted to. And then I guess I'm having a real bizarre experience with Jiminy Cricket. I don't even know what that would look like, but, you know, whatever. The Real Joy Beggar. Favorite fictional universe. Firefly from Joss Whedon's TV show Firefly. Everyone at Fox needs to get fired. You get teleported to the last movie, game, or show you watched. What is it and how would you make out in said universe? I literally have Teen Wolf playing in one ear right now. So I am going to a universe peopled by werewolves and magical shit. How would you make out in said universe? It'd be alright. I know a lot of crap about random shit. I'd probably be alright. What can't you say no to? Oh god. rescue animals. I run a ferret rescue in the city that I live in, in the country, surrounding countryside, and I literally today spent about 3 hours sitting out in a public park playing ferret ducking noises on my phone, trying to draw out a runaway ferret that was hiding down a rabbit hole. Could I say no? No. No, I could not. What's something sexual that instantly gets you worked up? I feel like it's very dangerous information to be giving out. Fingers in my hair. I really, really like fingers in my hair. Not pulling, although, you know, like a tight, like a little bit of manhandling is okay. But yeah, the fingers in the hair. The fingers in the hair is hot. Captain Jericho. Surely we've got to be mostly the way. Yeah, I think we're most of the way through this now. Okay. Captain Jericho, have you ever taken wacky photo booth pictures with a cheeky pal and stuck them to your makeup mirror? I have not. I don't have a makeup mirror. How did your Reddit account smoothly evolve towards the erotic audio arena from its humble beginnings as a repository for theoretical poltergeist freezing points? I don't know what this guy's deal. I don't know what your deal is with the poltergeist thing, Captain Jericho, but my Reddit account was made solely for GWA. So it didn't evolve. From your perspective, I have always been here. When you ask your questions, do you ask them and then do your AMA? Yes, because I feel like otherwise it's really weird. I should be in charge of chalk velocity. Okay. I put you in charge of chalk velocity, Captain Jericho. Go for your life. What is your favourite theoretical poltergeist freezing point? I feel like there's a joke here that I don't understand. And I do apologise for that, but I'm not Googling it right now. My oral fixation. Do you have a favourite accent and or one that's sexiest to your ears? If you had the chance to trade yours for something else for a day or a week, what would it be? My favourite accent is probably Alan Rickman. Yeah, don't judge me. If you had the chance to trade yours for something else, I wouldn't, because I imagine that anything I traded it for, I would immediately begin to dislike anyway. That's just, my brain is dumb. I wouldn't want to put any other accent in my mouth. Then I'll just dislike two accents. What draws you to the audio medium in particular that you don't get anywhere else? Connection, I think. I've done sort of rambles before where I talked about, you know, the quality of a voice making me feel safe. And sometimes you know, when I've spoken to creators and we've got, you know, at least a passing kind of acquaintance, I enjoy what they put out so much more. The other thing about the audio medium, that hasn't come up in this AMA, I mean, why would it? You wouldn't ask the question, is that I am audio tactile synesthetic, which means that I have a cross wiring in my brain and I experience certain sounds as physical sensations in my body. Now, for me, that is mostly associated with human voices. There are other things as well. And I think I did a post recently about what the sound of rain feels like, because that one's quite powerful. But it's mostly for me human voices, and different tones and sounds, singing in particular, big juju for me. But yeah, I experience physical sensations when I hear certain things. So that's why I like audio. What's one kink you never imagined you'd turn out to enjoy? Okay, I have been doing some femdom stuff lately. and I still can't quite believe that that's a sentence that comes out of my mouth, because I am not a dom at all. I am very squishy. I like being small. I like being held. I like being looked after. I don't have a dom personality in real life at all. And I've never sought it out. I've never been interested in it. But like 90% of the improv stuff that I do comes out dom. Like 90% of it. Very, very little of it is coming out sounding the way that I think I would normally sort of sound or come across in a sexual situation. And I like it. Although at least some of that may be the really sweet and really positive feedback that I get from it that feels really nice. What's the one thing you can count on to make you feel better when you need a lift? I love my animals. I have a small menagerie of animals. But also messages from friends. I play, so I have my online friends, of course, and I have my GWA friends, and they're all awesome. And I play D&D 2 nights a week, every week. I'm playing 3 games and DMing the 4th game. And I love my mad nerds. They are absolutely beautiful people, some of the most beautiful people I know. And that was my oral fixation, and now we have arid hook. Do you have a favorite type of audio to record? So we've sort of already covered that, really, that I do this sort of improv stuff, and it all comes out F-dom, and I don't, you know, gentle F-dom, and I really don't know where that comes from. If by favorite you mean, every time I open my mouth, it's what comes out. I guess that is my favorite. Before your recordings, is there anything you do to help get into the mood and that headspace? Listening to other audios quite often, actually. I have a few absolute favorite creators that I have, you know, that I slowly work through sort of their back catalogue of stuff, and I'm now looking at things that they did ages and ages and ages ago. And that tends it's why we're here. That works for me. and question 3, do you enjoy performing for GWA? Yes. Yes, I do. and that got us up to 54 minutes, which is goddamn impressive if anybody actually managed to stick that sucker out. And that is all of my currently available AMA questions. thank you, everybody, for leaving me questions so that I didn't have to sit here in absolutely horrified silence, or play you elevator music. I will talk to you later, and I hope you all have a good night. Bye.